Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in previous weeks, we've talked briefly about the idea that when we receive a travel itinerary in the Gospels, and it shows Jesus going from one place to another, and then encountering people who are in need, that this is a sign not of the accidental happenstance of good luck, but of God's plan to, in Jesus Christ, bring salvation to the lost. Well, I'd like to share with you a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 8, this morning. And it begins at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and saith, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. May God add his blessings to our hearts as we consider this wonderful word of God. Now, what we're seeing here is kind of the same thing, except on a much deeper level. God says to Philip, the evangelist, he says, Philip, I want you to go down onto the Jerusalem-Gaza road and walk on that road. And Philip is thinking to myself, the wilderness where nobody lives. And he says, I know better than to doubt the Lord's word. So he gets up and he goes. Now Philip has no idea what's going to happen. Now meanwhile, traveling down that road is this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he is a man who is the treasurer under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And so this is a man of great power, great authority. And he has come to believe in the God of Israel. That is, he has forsaken his father's gods and his mother's gods, and he has attached himself to the God of Israel. And yet, he is not converted. He is what we call a God-fearer. That is, a Gentile who is attached to the Israelite religion without being circumcised and becoming a full proselyte. So he was a God-fearer. He went to the temple at the festivals and he worshipped the Lord from the court of the Gentiles during these festivals. Now, while he was in Jerusalem, he picked up for himself a copy of the book of Isaiah. Now you say, well, okay, good. Remember, in those days, a copy of the book of Isaiah would be about the average man's annual salary. All right, so to have even one copy of one book of the Bible was to basically shell out a year's wages. All right, so this man, he was committed. He was committed to the God of Israel, so much so that he made a long, arduous journey to Jerusalem to worship God and make a long, arduous journey home again. And then in the meantime, he spent a huge sum of money buying a copy of a manuscript of the book of Isaiah. And while he's going through this desert area, sitting in his wagon, probably got a nice canopy over it to shield him from the sun, and he is reading out loud the book of Isaiah, Philip is walking down the road as this caravan goes by. And Philip hears this guy reading Isaiah chapter 53. And then the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go join yourself to this guy's wagon. And Philip says, okay. And so he walks over to this wagon and he says to the guy, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I unless someone helps me? Come on up. If you know something that can help me, come on up. And so Philip climbs up into the wagon. You talk about teeing up a home run ball, right? This is the Holy Ghost. Teeing up a home run ball. And what is it teaching us here? It's teaching us this wonderful truth that before we ever plan on our salvation, before it ever enters our mind to believe in Jesus, God has planned our salvation and is at work preparing the way for it, and he has his people whom he plans to put in place so that when we are ready and it is his time and the choosing of the Holy Ghost, everything will fall into place and result in our conversion and in our spiritual growth. This is a wonderful, wonderful teaching that our salvation begins not with our concern about ourselves, but with God's concern about us and with God's plan to work out our salvation so that everything finally comes together and we are saved. So God sent Philip ahead. God saw to it that this would take place in the least like. Listen, weren't there any Christians in Jerusalem who could have found this guy and talked to him while he was there? Well, I bet you there was. But this is the plan of God. that in the least likely places He is to be found with His Word, with the gospel of Jesus, so that a sinner may be saved. Now, another thing that we need to pay attention to here is that this is not a man who is casual in his sin. He is not living in carnal security. He's not an indifferent sinner. This man has a great interest in his own well-being. He has done many things by which he thinks to help himself. He's made a long journey. He's attended worship in Jerusalem. He has purchased the book of Isaiah, and he's been laboriously reading it on his journey home. So this is not a casual, indifferent sinner. This is a man who is under the conviction of God's law. He's not converted. He's not a believer. But he is alarmed at his sinful condition, and he is casting about in the best way he knows how to find some kind of help, to find some kind of solution. He is a man under the conviction of the law, saying, "Is there any way that I may find mercy and help from God?" All right, and it is to this man that Philip is sent. So Philip gets into the wagon, and the passage that the guy has been reading, interestingly enough, from Isaiah 53, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken up from the earth." So it's right smack in the middle of Isaiah chapter 53, the Good Friday passage. And the guy says to Philip with all sincerity, "Who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else?" See? Here's that ball right on the tee, right? And Philip looks, and he gets this. You gotta imagine the delightful look on Philip's face as that question is asked, and he realizes he's about to hit it out of the park. And so, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, it doesn't go into any detail about the content of Philip's sermon, but you can surmise it from the passage just quoted, and that Philip used that passage as his text to speak about the gospel of Jesus. But anyway, what Philip told this man was not the law. This man already knew the law. He was already alarmed by the law. This man needed to hear about Jesus. He needed to hear about salvation, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. And so Philip told him the good news that Christ came into the world and endured that agony and death in order to save sinners and restore them to fellowship with God. So Philip and the guy, they're probably riding along for a good while, and the eunuch says, he says, "Oh, look, there's some water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Aha, now we see. The gospel of Christ has converted this man's heart. He has been justified by grace through faith. He has come to faith. He has gone from lost to found, from blind to seeing. This man is now in a condition where in true faith he requests holy baptism. Now this is an important thing for us to consider, because each one of us, we are baptized. And as baptized children of God, you know, baptism for all of us happened a long time ago. And sometimes it's easy to forget the fact that our Christian life, our faith, really began in the waters of holy baptism. That is, when we were little babies and our parents took us to the font and the pastor baptized us in the name of the triune God, it was there that God washed us of our sins. It was there that God received us into His grace. It was there that God gifted us with the Holy Spirit. And so our life in Christ began in the waters of holy baptism. And then as we grew, the Word of God caused our faith to become stronger and stronger and stronger as we have learned it over the years. And the result of this is that all these many years later, we're still here. We're still hungry for the Word of God. We still have our hearts anchored in heaven, and we still love the Lord Jesus Christ. But it begins in the waters of holy baptism. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch was an adult. He wasn't baptized as an infant. He was an adult. So he had to hear the Word of God first. And then his baptism was the completion and the seal of what he received by faith. You see, when an adult is baptized, first they hear the Word of God and they are brought to faith in the Word. And then the baptism confirms and seals with the gracious gift of God the faith that was born via the Word. But the Word and baptism go together, and faith and baptism go together. And we therefore are called upon to rejoice in the gift God gave us in holy baptism. Whether for some people baptism comes after our faith, or whether baptism comes first and our faith comes with baptism. Either way, God is at work in the waters of baptism. And so Philip baptizes the guy, and the result of this is that he goes on his way rejoicing. This is the fruit of saving faith, right? The man, he did all kinds of works because he was alarmed by the law. And he wanted to please God, but all he knew was the law. And so he did all kinds of things that might please God. But God had already planned this man's salvation. And by God's providence, Philip was at the right place at the right time. And this man finally heard about Jesus Christ. And saving faith was given to him through the preaching of Jesus and in the waters of baptism. And then in this saving faith, in this new gift of God, this man continues his journey back to Ethiopia, rejoicing in Jesus Christ and rejoicing in his salvation. All right? That's the fruit of faith, is on our way rejoicing. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.